We will reconvene for the administrative portion of today's meeting.
Take it away, Victor.
Sorry, I got out of line here, so I can't remember. Okay, we have no consent items, so we'll move right into discussion, and I will turn it over to Mr. Acronym.
Thank you, Commissioner. One other little, I didn't hear you say that we have an informal this afternoon on the Langdon Wind Farm as well, just a little minor announcement. So, we'll start with JTIQ GRIP support letter. So, to fill in the acronym holes there, Joint Targeted Interconnection Queue is JTIQ, and GRIP is, I had this one. I had it. Grid Resiliency and Innovation, Innovative Partnerships. The JTIQ portfolio was approved by both MISO and SPP with a split of 90% to generators and 10% to load. And we've found some opportunities with the GRIP funding potential. So they will be submitting application for funding through that program, and this is a request for us to submit a letter in support of that application. There's been a number of different state and regional entities that have filed comments in support. I believe MISO either already has or will be filing comments. SPP, similarly. I think we received this letter from the North Dakota Transmission Authority as a starting point. So the request is for 3B to approve us filing a letter of support. And I did send out the draft, I think, Tuesday. I didn't receive any changes back from anyone, but I don't think there's an immediate need to file. I don't think we need to file it like today. I'm off the top of my head not sure what the deadline is for filing these letters, but we should try to do it relatively soon, maybe by the end of the week.
Yeah. I thought the letter looked fine to me. The only, and this is about as trivial as it gets, in the third paragraph, once you mention SPP and MISO, and then later on you mention MISO and SPP, I think appropriately, but in the second paragraph, both times you mention MISO before SPP, I think one of those lines, you should just switch them around and just try to maintain.
Agreed.
Nice balance.
I had no comments about the letter. I think I just asked you some questions as far as some background information and funding, so you answered those. So.
Okay.
It's good with me.
We will finalize the changes and have it brought around for signatures. We'll have to add the signature block on the bottom. Yeah, but we will bring that around. Thank you.
Thanks, Victor.
Next up, more acronym soup, FCC ITN letter. So, Federal Communications Commission, individual telephone number pooling is what we have asked them for on a number of occasions, actually. So, what happened with this one? We filed an application, I think it was a good year and a half to 2 years ago. They asked the North American Numbering Council, or NANCI, to review the application and provide a recommendation for costs and the challenges associated with it. The NANCI has come back with a full report. There was about 40-50 pages worth of what I can only describe as nonsense. They did not, in my opinion, make any kind of reasonable attempt to analyze our request. And our request was in conjunction with, I believe it was Maine, and some other states kind of joined at various times as well. So Jack and I have worked on this letter to the FCC. So the FCC has not ruled on this matter yet. So we're just intending to send a letter saying we don't agree with what NANCI had to say, and we think you should still consider our request. If Jack has any additional thoughts.
No, I think that pretty much covers everything, Victor. I guess just specifically, I know I sent out more of a preliminary draft just to see if there's any issue with what substantively I had written up to that point. I hadn't heard back any major concerns. We're kind of going into the finalizing of our drafting phase, minor semantic changes and grammar edits, periods, things like that. And I just, if there's no other concerns, I just would like to be clear that there's direction for the commission to go ahead and file this.
I had one other idea, and you explained well why that probably wasn't a good idea. And so beyond that, I thought the letter was really good, and the explanation here, Victor, was very good too, except I don't think you emphasized enough how disappointing the study and evaluation was.
Yes.
I mean, they just did nothing.
Right. Yeah. They really did not give it a fair shake at all. There was no reasonable consideration for anything. They knew they were going to recommend denial as soon as they received it, in my opinion.
And the shocking thing is they asked for like 2 or 3 extensions to write more and more time to write this draft, and ultimately came back with 0 quantifiable data to back up any of the recommendations. It was a lot of maze, a lot of coulds, and no worst-case scenarios.
It seemed like an attempt to wait us out, so the couple of states that are still in this, we're running out of numbers. That's why we're requesting this. So it appeared to be an attempt to push out the date farther for when they make any sort of recommendation that it doesn't matter anymore. Like, we're already in jeopardy and adding another area code and then assuming we wouldn't care anymore after that point. But we're working very hard on saving our numbering resources. And actually, I shared this with Randy a week or so ago. Jerry has taken over those duties since I had taken over as director, and she's continued the efforts that I started and managed to push out our date another 2.5 years for a number of exhaustion. So kudos to Jerry. Yes.
I'd also note that they're pushing out extending that out for a period of time actually probably worked at exhausting a number of other states. We were just an exception.
I know we talked, I think in the past, I think we asked our congressional, we talked about it. Have they been involved with this at all? I mean, or besides this letter, is there anything else we can do?
I know we had talked about sending a letter to the congressional delegation. I feel like we did. Stacy's nodding her head.
We did.
I think
they're CC'd on this one, aren't they?
I could CC them on this one, too.
And I think when this letter is so good and explains so well what's happened here, that I want to then elevate that with them again and say, guys, we really need this. You know, this is serious stuff, and it's such an easy fix.
Do you intend to reach out directly to Kramer and Hogan?
I can, or is there a better way of doing it? I don't know.
I'm not sure the best way. I mean, they prefer to have their staff, but I sometimes don't know that the staff always recognize like the things that need to be elevated. So maybe in Kramer's office, Mark Uman would be the right one, or Chris, to talk to directly. But I think you should do that. And then Hoven's office, I've lost track in the DC office of who's really running that show. And I most certainly don't know their telecom person. But then, you know, Kelly also would be easy to talk to, and you could even start with Daryl, see who he would recommend to elevate it to the proper levels there so that they, you know, don't, so that it gets a fair hearing in them.
Do we send, when we send things to them, when we copy them in on a letter like this to FCC, is that done electronically, or are we waiting for the U.S. mail to get it there so
it's
they even know what we're talking about?
Electronically.
Okay.
But where does it go electronically then?
Just like FERC and the other agencies, they have essentially a docketing system. It goes there, gets verified, and then put in the docketing itself.
No, but I mean to the congressional delegation.
Oh, I apologize. I think Stacey, I think, usually does those communications. Mail. Yep.
Just to their general office.
Well, this might be one, you know, to hold the letter back and call Daryl. I mean, he called up here asking how he could help, so ask him to come up here or meet.
I'll seek some appointments and visit with all three, someone from all three.
But okay. On the interim, you're comfortable allowing us to go ahead and file it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm going to skip to number four, and we'll come back to number three. Just four is very related. So we were made aware that Nancy is seeking new nominations to be part of that board, and they are accepting nominations for states. So with your permission, I would like to nominate myself and Jerry. So I would be the primary member, and Jerry would be the backup in case there's a meeting that she would need to attend instead of myself. But it would allow us to have a little bit more of a voice on numbering issues with the Nancy. There's no guarantee that we would be selected, but just to kind of throw my hat into that ring as an opportunity for us to be more involved. Some disclosure, so some of their meetings are in D.C. They do appear to have virtual options for those, but it does specify that there is no reimbursement for any travel expenditures. It would have to be funded by the agency. My plan would be to attend remotely unless there is something major, then use something within my travel budget to attend anything that's necessary to be there in person. But
I really like this idea, and I've seen in the past a couple times when they were seeking someone and thought about whether I should apply, and always deemed that I can't see how I'm going to get it done. I don't know. I'm disappointed in myself that I didn't think of nominating you before. Is it helpful if you have a letter from the commission nominating you? Or, as I recall, it's just kind of a matter of telling them, yeah, I'm interested.
Yes. So it really is just, it's and even less than a letter. They just want an email saying, here's my name, organization, a statement summarizing qualifications, a resume, and some acknowledgments. So,
I think it's important. I'm curious what you guys think.
How often do they meet? It doesn't say.
Let's see.
Is it a monthly meeting?
I don't
quarterly?
Believe it's monthly. So, oh
gosh. What they do every month?
I don't believe it would be monthly. So I'm just looking through the details here, if they specify. If memory is serving, it's quarterly or even biannually. It's not a significant number of meetings.
If you don't we get our exhaustion dates quarterly?
Biannually.
Is it biannually? Okay.
I have, no problem if you just want to update us via email or chit-chat on how often to meet, but submit...
Here we go. Commitment to attend at least two meetings per year.
Okay.
I think it's a good idea, and if you're willing to do it, great.
Hopefully you'll get like a jacket or some shirts or something that say NANC.
That was my main hope. I mean,
well, I thought it was a t-shirt with the state of North Dakota and 701 in the middle.
My wife already got me one of those.
Well, then.
We don't want your wife wondering who Nancy is.
True.
I'd be suspicious.
Okay. So,
okay, thank you for
number
that.
Number three, then.
So, number three, DOE-EERE-GDO. So,
Gold
Department
key.
Of Energy, Energy and Environmental Research. The E is slipping my mind right now. Oh, Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy, sorry. And GDO, Grid Deployment Office. So, this I had sent around Sunday, I think.
I don't have it, so I think we'll need copies.
You don't? Okay.
Is that the application?
Those are the proposals that I had sent out.
The ideas.
So the application is just an online thing. So what this is, to refresh your memory, I think I brought this up last meeting, fellowship opportunities where essentially we can propose different projects that we would like to do. They will assign us one to two, most likely one fellow, as they're referring to them, for a 1 to 2 year program. There's no funding that transfers from one agency to another. We would not get any funding here. They would pay this fellow directly. the request for your approval is for the three programs that I would submit, and the due date is today at like midnight, so I would submit them later this afternoon. I guess that's the...
So for clarification, you're asking us on the ideas, or if we have more ideas, then come up with our priority 1, 2, and 3.
It's not really a priority. Like, we'll just submit whatever of those you'd like me to submit. We don't necessarily assign priorities to them. We just submit these as proposals.
Okay.
And they don't select all of them. There's a small subset that gets selected. I think just due to their desire to have diversity in what states and what entities receive these fellowship opportunities, we're at a pretty reasonable likelihood to get at least one.
Well, that would be great.
It would be. One other thing to think about, in the application, there is a selection of whether we're okay with the fellow being entirely remotely, if they would need to relocate here. I guess my thought is, to give us the best opportunity, I would probably check that they can be entirely remote. Box. I mean, primarily they're going to be doing research. Obviously, they're not going to be doing commission work and doing orders and motions and those kinds of things. They're primarily a research resource.
So they have a framework of, this is a program, so we would have the what we can expect from this research and timelines. And my other question is, would you be the person overseeing this person, and then having some oversight and saying...
Yep, we would have oversight. So they request a mentor to be assigned from the utility or state that's being granted this fellowship opportunity, and I would be the mentor.
I think how it basically works in other states is, it's from friends of mine who I've talked to, it's like an additional staff person that we direct.
That's my indication.
I don't
as well.
Sense that the DOE has much involvement once they assign them, which I think is fairly...
That is
important.
Good. That's actually one concern I had without, you know, reading between the lines of how does this really work. Do they have any direction that they give to them?
Yeah. I don't believe that they do once they agree with the, or, you know, approve the concepts. And then we can tweak these as we go too. I would assume, like, maybe we haven't thought of every single question that we'd like them to explore, and so we can dig into that more once.
That's my hope, and I tried to make them relatively general so that we can kind of change that scope as we go through these different proposals. And I did, Julie, I think the last time I brought this to the three of you, I had two of them in mind, and I know there was another one we talked about, and that third one was the other item that you and I had discussed before.
When I look at the program one, the electrical vehicle charging, never mind. That's more the rates and all that. I was just thinking long term, you know, we're such a rural state that sometimes the benefits of knowing the demographics or the site would be to... Sometimes a benefit of having someone be here, but that's just a snippet.
No, and I agree. I mean, we would certainly, I like this idea. I don't know. I mean, we've never submitted these applications before, so I don't know if that lessens our chance of getting a fellowship opportunity or not. And I'm just trying to, my goal was to try to maximize our chances.
I think this is a great idea, a great opportunity. The worst they can say is no.
How long is the time span?
It's a 1 to 2 years. Most of them are 1 year, but some of them have been 2 years.
And the other reason I ask, based on the discussion of whether we would approve them being completely working remotely, if we have them come here, we have to put them somewhere.
That was another consideration as well.
Computer for them and all the things. So.
And then we run into, you know, this person... While they would operate as an employee, they're not an employee. And then what kinds of data do we give them access to? We have IT concerns. So it seemed to simplify the equation if they are entirely remote to me as well. So That's a very good point. I thought about that and forgot about that. So,
I'm sorry, I was still reading some of this when you. Are you saying you'd prefer them to be remote 100%?
I think so, given the various concerns.
I don't. Because I think it's hard to. I think it would be hard to get somebody who is already probably not a North Dakotan and not familiar with our state. Get them acclimated into sort of our viewpoints and
sure.
how we work through things if they're never here. So do we say in the application? We just say that we'd be open to remote, right?
Well, it's kind of specific. So here are the three options. Innovator fellow will need to relocate to the area for an on-site in-person operating status. Next option is innovator fellow will need to relocate to the area for a hybrid operating status, hybrid meaning a combination of on-site in-person days and virtual during a work week or pay period. And then the final option is can participate in a fully remote operating status and does not need to relocate to the area. The innovator may need to travel to the host institution a few times throughout their appointment for in-person site visits.
Can we check both two things? Hybrid and the other one? The last one.
We can only select one.
Have you tried selecting two? Is there a place for additional comments?
There's an other. There's an other option.
Okay. Hit other and write both.
Okay. We'll do.
I support that, and that's what I was trying to get at. It's hard for them to do research.
Yep. At least a few days to get the feel for what we're all about,
Yeah, like maybe once a month or something
yep.
they show up.
And would the DOE cover those costs, correct, on them?
I would assume so. It's very shoddy with the detail that it provides, but it appears that all costs for that employee or that fellow are covered. By them, not us.
I like them to be here some.
Okay. Other it is.
Are these like PhD students doing research? What is...
So, I don't know. It sounds from Julie's experience or the stories she's heard from others that they are very sharp folks. There is an interview process that we would have an opportunity to be a part of if we are granted one of these.
Oh, so you're saying graduates from UND, huh?
Could be.
Yeah.
I mean, there's four NDSU.
No,
they have any energy-related people there.
I'm just curious on if they're done with school and their background, but I guess stay tuned for the interview process, huh?
That's my hope.
Well, thank you for all your work in this.
No, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Victor, for pursuing it.
That's
exciting.
I will look to submit these later this afternoon, maybe 3 or 4 p.m. So if there's any additional, if you want to see any changes to this or you have an additional program that you want to completely draft up and send to me, just let me know. We'll work through
I'll
whatever.
Work on it.
Get that Doe Erie Godot done soon.
I look forward
fantastic.
To how that other option goes for you.
It'll be perfect. I have no doubt.
Okay. Thanks again, Victor.
Thank you. I don't have anything else for discussion, but I do want to add something to scheduling. But we'll. I think Randy has something for discussion. So
I do. Okay. So the last thing I had added on there is messages from the Secretary of State. I wouldn't be surprised if we get any more of these. In the future, I can't remember what all resolutions and how they turned out. This, and they send these out to impacted agencies, so I just wanted to share with you guys. And then I don't know what we do with the original letter, but the essence of this is very wisely resolving that PSC and the Transmission Authority are urged to advocate at MISO and SPP for policies that fairly compensate dispatchable energy resources, properly value all generators based on their contributions to grid reliability, and ensure the availability of generation resources at all hours to meet demand. And so we got that, and so now we know.
There's no requirement that you read the whole resolution.
Our brand new task is to work on these things.
I would like that electronically so I can forward it to my MISO people. I know they're getting a copy, but I'd like them to get it for me too.
Okay.
So we can maybe scan it in. And
we'll do. We'll send you one too.
That'd be great.
And then maybe we can
hang it someplace. Well, I can send it to the Secretary of State.
Maybe it is. Maybe we all got it.
I think we did.
I didn't see another one.
So. Okay. You aren't going through our mail, are you?
No, I mean, I didn't see another one that came to me. Okay, so I will get you copies of this and find out if there's something we're supposed to do with the original. I don't know. Okay, so then we can move into scheduling.
Mr. Mayor, do you have some thoughts that you'd like to discuss regarding the upcoming settlement hearing?
Isn't that scheduling?
Well, I suppose that could be. I
That's
do have
what an, I was interpreting it as.
I do have another. I guess a couple things we probably should discuss related to that case, though, as well. Now that settlement has been filed, if.
Okay, so why don't we take it up in discussion?
Sure.
And. So, I don't know if anybody's seen their email shortly before, but there's been a settlement filed.
I didn't see
on
that.
The MDU case.
Yeah. 46 and pages.
So. When I saw that, and frankly, I thought about this the last couple of days. As the legislature, you know, we see kind of how things are winding there. And the fact that we've, in most rate cases, wound up with settlements filed. And so I was kind of just assuming that there was some likelihood of that. Now it's confirmed. Well, I mean, there is a lot of monitoring that needs to be done in the next few days here of the legislature, and I don't think any of us assumed that the legislature would try to, when we made plans at the beginning of the year and the 80th day was in April yet, that it could potentially go into next week. And so I don't know if I really don't have anything specific on the weekend. I don't know if either of you do, but there's, like I say, a lot of legislative work to do, and then now a new filing. And I think about, okay, when am I going to go through all this stuff and really be prepared to ask good questions of those witnesses by 8 o'clock Monday morning? And so knowing that settlements typically involve a lot less hearing time than what a full-blown rate case would be when we scheduled 5 days, I'm wondering about, and most the time the witnesses on settlements don't fly in, they just offer themselves up remotely. And so if it's not problematic or objectionable specifically to anyone involved in the case, I was thinking potentially we could gavel in, announce that we're going to stand in recess and take testimony at 8:30 Tuesday morning, and we would have all day Monday as well as this weekend to prepare and actually know what the settlement is that we're talking about rather than the rate case that we've been looking at for the last number of months.
I like that idea. I think that's good.
So looking at just for my information, do you look at it being just one day then, or do you still see several days?
I don't know, staff. Usually when we've had settlements, we've been done in a, I think in a day, but, you know, even maybe two. But I guess I would hold them open in case, depending on what the questioning is. Mm-hmm. But I sure don't think we need 5. And so if we pushed it back to Tuesday, I think it would really allow us to be better prepared.
Well, and my question was, can we push, I mean, is Tuesday or can we look at Wednesday? I mean,
I'd prefer Tuesday. Okay. Just because I've looked at Thursday and Friday as being possible days for other stuff, thinking the same thing. So I have some tentative stuff scheduled on Thursday that I'd like to be able to do if we're done.
If I may, the generally settlements, full settlements, have been finished in today. We do have a few additional parties in this one, so that may extend a little bit, but I would anticipate that a settlement hearing probably could be finished within one day, depending largely upon the commission's questions. There are a few complications to this, and I know extending it to Wednesday may be difficult because I know a number of parties, some of their witnesses were not going to be available through all those days, but I think as far as I've heard so far, everyone should have their witnesses available for that Monday and Tuesday. We also reached out to the parties, some staff did, and every party said they would be fully available for that Tuesday hearing except for one, and I haven't had a chance to have a conversation. I missed the call when I was at the meeting from the party that was Marathon. I guess they only set aside one day for a five-day rate case hearing, as it looks right now.
Well, I also look at it as we have this to review and opportunity for us to ask questions to our staff, too. And so that's stretching staff very, making themselves available to us on Monday or even tomorrow.
Well, staff's been involved in the negotiations, and so I'm not overly concerned about staff. I apologize. Being prepared for that hearing, they've been preparing for this for months at this point in time. It's really more of an advisory and commission preparation time.
Let me clarify. Sorry. Staff be available to the commission to answer questions before the hearing.
Oh, prior to the hearing. I see. I apologize.
What about Monday afternoon? That might be another option. Just if Marathon isn't, we could start Monday afternoon and get going.
There's also a third option that we push this out in its entirety.
I don't like that option.
Okay.
Personally,
I just want to be fair to staff that.
Yeah.
I mean, when we review this, there's going to be some questions.
Sure.
Prior to the hearing.
Well, how about we just assign advisory staff to work with the
or Jack.
The companies and whoever. And if Tuesday is workable, schedule it for Tuesday. And if as a fail-safe, try and push it back from Monday morning a little bit and maybe make it a day and a half thing or something like that, that we could, hopefully they'll accommodate this, because I do think it is important. This is pretty close to starting time. And then just with legislative stuff, it's really a tough time for us to catch up on something new now this quickly.
To the extent that one party is unavailable for the hearing but is agreeable with us going forward on just the settlement, would the commissioners be comfortable with that?
If they're agreeable to it, I am.
I don't know that I am until I see the settlement and what's been addressed and what hasn't. Because, I mean, these parties all raised different and interesting. I mean, I agree. I understand if they agreed with it, that's, you know, a big step. But there might be things that they didn't address. Again, I haven't seen it, so I don't know what those things are yet.
Sure.
So I'd prefer that the parties all be available.
Okay.
And maybe if there is a party unavailable, that their witness would be available. That would be a reasonable compromise to.
That could be, but that would be whether counsel is comfortable having the witness, especially since. Usually witnesses are consultants who do not work for the company, available without counsel in itself. The two other things I do want to bring up related to the hearing, this is more procedural. So if we come forward with exhibits, as you recall from previous rate cases, they're is voluminous. We'd get all the same applications over and over again. I mean, you get all the same documents in exhibit form. If the commission is comfortable with it, and we have done this in past rate cases, I just want to make sure that you would continue to be agreeable to this. We'd get a document that would actually recognize which docket number that would be, so you could just reference it instead of just coming in with, you know, stacks of books of exhibits, except for the ones that hadn't been, unless there are some exhibits that haven't been filed yet, they would have to bring those an actual paper copy. So if the commission is comfortable with that, I can communicate that to the parties.
I am.
I am too.
And a couple other items as well. You know, of course, all the parties had a number of witnesses they would be looking at calling. I'm assuming that all the witnesses will be available for that settlement hearing that we have. But generally, parties don't call all the witnesses. So if you have 10 witnesses, you probably call one or two to as necessary to explain the case and the settlement. And I'm not holding it to you, holding you to this at the at this moment, but if you have a specific witness that you would like to hear from during the rate case, it would be great if you could communicate that to me, and I'll make sure the parties have them available for the settlement settlement hearing. And the final item that I guess I just want to touch on real briefly is I know we have a number of people requesting to be remote, and so far everyone has communicated they're fairly comfortable with that. That's somewhat commonplace, especially for a settlement hearing. At times they've showed up remotely through various forms, whether it's GoToMeeting, Zoom, or just phone. Is there a preference? Is there any issue with a witness showing up only via phone? Or would you prefer to have them visible on a screen as part of their testimony?
I prefer visible.
Okay.
As long as the connection's good. I mean, I'd take a good phone connection over a shoddy video connection, but it's nice to have them visible if it's a good connection.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I'm fine either way, I guess.
Sure. Yeah, and those are the questions I had. I'll see if we can find something workable.
So we'll leave it to your discretion, kind of, to see about rescheduling and doing something that's workable. I thank you for your concerns.
Right, and just for the purpose of the hearing, I just want to provide that back to make sure I have it correctly, that if we can have it on Tuesday, there's a preference to have it on Tuesday. If that is not workable for all parties, there would maybe some interest in starting it late on Monday.
Great.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And tell me, or and if you need to research this, you can tell us later, but do we need to gavel in at 8:30 and announce that as scheduled?
I think we probably should show up at that time, and since the public would be looking, hypothetically, the public would be looking.
I don't think everybody has to show up if we have the electronics going. I will make sure I'm here to do that.
Wouldn't it be the judge, the ALJ? Because we don't really gavel in on like a meeting.
Right.
That's a good point.
Yes, a procedure ALJ could do that, but the commission can do things on their own motion as well in the action in hearings.
I was going to mention we should also, Matt, if we can put a message on the broadcast and leave it there for like the whole day if we go till Tuesday so that people tuning into the broadcast will know what's going on. Because not everyone might be there right at 8:30 to hear the announcement of what's going on. So maybe we can put some kind of a message on the broadcast announcing what's going on.
Yeah, we can either put a message over the broadcast and have it going, or I can just put up a different stock image so we don't actually have to broadcast.
Yeah, just something so that if somebody's clicking on the broadcast link, they get a message about what's going on.
That's important. So what do you think? Should we have, I don't know, is it Hope Hogan? Is she the ALJ or a different one?
It's Hope Hogan.
Should we have her come over here, or should I just do that? Or do I have to...
I'm comfortable with us doing it ourselves without the judge having to come over here to open up the hearing.
Well, I'll be here and do it. You guys can come in. You don't have to, I think. It's up to you.
Okay. Just don't be tormenting our gnomes.
I think the only other scheduling thing is Steve on the director's meetings.
Generally, we do have a director's meeting shortly after session just to kind of consolidate what we've done and what's coming and just a good recap of what changed during session, what we need to do going forward. So, also had a commissioner request one.
Well, it sounded like even with a settlement, and that there probably wasn't a desire to schedule anything else for late next week.
Julie, I thought, had some commitments Thursday,
yeah.
Friday.
So I've kind of jumped into that. Tell me if I'm understanding that wrong. But so I'm looking at the week of May 8th. And Tuesday we have a hearing all day.
How about Friday the 12th?
I have a OMS meeting at 1 that day. I don't know how we... Yeah, we could do it after that.
Oh,
like 3.
But I have League Night Research Council starting at 1:30. That'll
take
till 4.
Oh, yeah, I've got a 3 o'clock, too. How about the 12th? That looks... The afternoon of the 12th?
Nope, I'm gone that day. Sorry.
What about the 5th? Would the afternoon of the 5th work? My May is really ugly. I'm just warning you.
I have training that day.
On the 5th?
Yep.
Isn't that the... Oh, you scheduled that.
Yeah, that pins up.
Okay.
All day or just afternoon?
Well, I think it's...
Because that's the rate case day that we scheduled. So...
Well, I...
Oh, you just were assuming that it'd be done. I got it.
But is it all day?
I think so. I think it's 2 days. Like,
okay. Let's see, so the 11th, we've got a commission meeting. No, 12th is out. I'm gone the 15th, 16th, and 17th at a resource adequacy summit. 18th.
What?
18th and 19th of May?
They work for
what
me.
What am I doing? What? In the morning I have something. That was June. That I had you schedule yesterday? That's June.
Okay, so the 18th or 19th?
I like the 18th better, but I could do the 19th.
18th's fine with me.
18th, either one, I'm fine. Maybe not right away in the morning because I have a commitment at 7 a.m.
Oh, yeah, well, whatever, 10?
What time looks good?
10 is fine, yep.
Okay.
That is the 17th.
So do we like...
No, 10? The 18th, Steve.
Yep.
So do we do like 10 to 12 and we bring in... Tell me what goes on at this director's meeting, recap for legislative. Recap.
It's just to make sure that everybody understands what came through, both on budget and on any changes to legislation and anything else we need to discuss to a...
like follow-up, if we have to do any follow-ups or...
Yeah.
Timelines, okay. Yeah.
And then anything else that would be pertinent to a director's meeting at that point.
So we'll hold all the way till noon. Leave ourselves plenty of time. Yeah.
That's probably more time than we need. But.
This is just a forewarning to everybody. I have 2 trips, one for OMS, one for NARUC in May, and then the end of the month, Mike and I are going to on a pilgrimage to Italy. So I am going to be gone a lot. The 18th and 19th are pretty open, so if there's more things that we need to do before I go, we might want to get those on the book sooner versus later, especially if it's, because you guys all have stuff out of state as well, so, or commitments, so just a little bit of heads up.
To Italy?
Mm-hmm. With our church.
Really. Enjoy Rome.
Yeah. Rome and other spots.
So, with that in mind, I have something else you can add on the 18th.
What's that?
That's what you get for throwing it.
I know, but I'm like, we better do it now than wish that we had. Or everyone's mad because there's no time.
the MDU ESA case, 22371, wondering if you're willing to schedule a work session. We had that was the one we had the settlement. We had the hearing, I think, last week, Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So we do the afternoon of the 18th.
How about 9? How long does your thing that you have in mind?
7 to 8.
Do you want to do 9 or?
That's fine. Is that? I'll come back refreshed. It's a prayer breakfast. Do we need more than an hour?
I don't need more than an hour.
Sounds good to me. I don't think we do. We should be able to get that done in an hour.
Well, that works. 9 a.m.
That's a work session?
Yes. And I'll try to come up with some other things we can do that afternoon. I'm sure I have plenty of other ideas.
Good. Well, maybe we should just put a hold on our calendar.
We can order your Nancy shirts.
So then, commissioners, are we going to cancel the informal time slot on the 11th in that afternoon, since we have a few people?
Conflicts.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose we may as well. Good point.
And somebody isn't going to try to put something in there.
Yeah.
And then, Commissioner Crisman, are you gone the 19th then? Are you not available May 19th?
I thought he said the 12th he was gone.
Okay. Well, just because I know people are going to be asking me for time frames.
The 12th was what you said.
When someone brought up scheduling the director's meeting on the 18th or 19th, I said I prefer the 18th. But
I see.
I could have the 19th. It's the 12th that I'm gone. Going to Italy. I'm going to North Platte, Nebraska.
So jealous. What are you doing there?
What's that?
Are you visiting any cool churches?
I'm going to a relative's graduation.
Nice. All right.
Bring the warriors with you and your college people.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.